All right, welcome everybody to the Renegade HPG podcast. Very fun episode today. I'm joined by the creative team behind Hired Steel, which is a fan animation set in the BattleTech MechWarrior universe that has just dropped, if you're watching this as it releases, but their recent animation, which is episode one, which has been preceded by the pilot for this series, just dropped. And so definitely check that out if you haven't already. We're going to be showing it a little bit here later in the episode as we kind of go through a scene-by-scene basis and let these guys kind of talk about the creative process there. Before we get going, I'm going to go ahead and let everybody introduce themselves. There are five of us here total, so we're going to go ahead and just do a kind of a speaker view here, but so that you have a name behind the face, let's go ahead and start, and we can do this alphabetically. So Andreas, you are first. Which one are you?
Hi, this is Andreas.
And then we have Bernard.
Hi, that's me, Bernard.
Hey, Konstantin.
And Sasha or Charlie?
Yeah, here's Charlie.
Charlie, perfect. All right. Welcome, everybody. And so, you know, we can talk a little bit. Let's, what are you guys' individual kind of roles in this process? And then we talk a little bit about kind of the inspiration and what kind of motivated this this idea in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, we have been working together in the DMC since 2012 or 13 now, so quite a long while, at least Andreas and Charlie and I. And yeah, I mean, we all took up very a lot of roles, honestly, in this process. There's just so much work to be done that you can't really say, oh, one person did this. I mean, in general, I guess I took up kind of the generalist or director's role, or if you want to call it a producer, I don't know. Basically, I did all the stuff that fell under the table. And Charlie did lots of the background story and lore research. He's the most knowledgeable with all the BattleTech ins and outs that I don't know or the other guys don't know. Yeah, Bernard joined us last June for the pilot. He maybe you know him from his other projects. We can talk about that later. And then Andreas as well, they both did lots of the animation and rigging work on the characters and mechs.
Excellent. So what kind of came first in the production process? Was it kind of Charlie, you know, going through with the story and setting the foundation, or were you just kind of, you know, thinking about some cool shots and then filling in the story behind it?
Well, actually, first came up Konstantin's idea about let's do a teaser-like project inspired by the Astartes project from Warhammer 40K. During this process, we kind of thought, hey, let's kind of start a new Machinima project like we did back in the days with No Guts, No Galaxy. We had this little, I call it prototype, called Davian Blues.
Okay.
But it didn't continue, so production was halted back in the days. But anyways, we tried to fill up the story. I wrote up the scripts for the first part and continued it by at least many, many, many more episodes, which we need to tear it down. But yeah, I was just looking at many reference images and videos from my library, mostly Japanese anime, classical mecha animation like Macross, Voltums, Gundam, and so on, and try to fill the shots with my ideas.
Yeah. And so did you guys...
Went to Konstantin and try to visualize it in a storyboard.
Definitely. And so what's, do you guys have a storyboard now for the whole series, or are you kind of just doing kind of a episode by episode storyboard?
So normally, at least what we've done with the pilot and the first episode now is that we start with a written scribble where we all have an open document where we can add our ideas, and that gets turned into a more solid script, and then into a storyboard. And honestly, when we started episode one, we didn't even know how much we could do. So for now, we have a rough timeline for the whole thing, but we honestly don't even know how far we can take it, since there have been so many learnings now between all of the different projects. And now with episode two, we have so much stuff Like we build a whole asset library that we can just now build on. It shaves off, I guess, 1 or 2 months at least from the whole production for the next episode. So yeah, we have a timeline for the whole thing, but it's definitely most detailed for the current productions that we are doing.
Awesome. And then this last one took 6 months. How long was it kind of, you know, getting that pilot out and starting, like, what happened before that one was published?
Yeah, I mean, like Andreas mentioned before we started recording, this has been born out of Corona and the COVID lockdowns, which are pretty tough in Germany, at least. I guess in Austria as well, where Bernhard lives. So last April, we were all pretty much stuck in a hard lockdown and couldn't do nothing. And for most of us, it was joined by reduced work hours. So we sat down and said, yeah, let's do something. So the pilot took, I guess, in total about 4 months. That was from beginning of April until August or September. And then we slowly started in August, parallel to the finalization of the pilot with episode one, and episode one has been going for the whole time now. So right. 6 months, yeah.
What led you to decide on the style that you took? You know, what kind of, I know there's a lot of Mech Warrior assets in there, you know, and Bernhard, I've caught your video, you know, for the remakes for the old Mech Warrior mercenaries, which was awesome. I'll definitely link that so people can check it out. But yeah, so what kind of, you know, led you to that? Are you guys more Mech Warrior online players, or you come more from the BattleTech side of things?
So what brought us together back then was definitely Mech Warrior Online. So the OG TMC was born out of a competitive unit, actually. We were all part of the Tamar Jägers. I don't know if they are still active, but they were back in the day. And we actually found ourselves because we wanted to make a promotional video for our unit. So if you go onto our channel and select the oldest video, it's like from 2013, was the first video that we made together. So we definitely come from Mech Warrior Online. And to be quite honest, it was beyond our capabilities when we made the pilot to just model mechs from the ground up. So we were very thankful that PGI enables people to use their assets in such a way.
Excellent. And Bernhard, how do you find this? Because you know, I actually found you before I found out the connection between you and TMC here. What kind of got you involved in kind of remaking yours?
You refer to remaking the intro or getting
into
the TMC?
Intro. Yeah, the intro.
Well, I was doing art for quite a while, but due to marriage and kids, I took quite a long break and picked up 3D art. I think it was in 2018 again. After Mardi Gras, so I had plenty of time again on my hands. So I decided to pick up 3D again, and I wanted to do something Mech Warrior related because that's something that stuck with me since my youth. And yeah, that took me about a year to do that on my own, learned a lot in that process. And that's what caught the attention of the TMC crew, actually. And Konstantin contacted me last year, asking if I would be interested to have a talk with them and be part of a team for a project. And so that's how I ended up joining the team late in the final production of the pilot, doing just one shot in the pilot, the Shadowhawk cockpit scene.
Okay.
And then starting right in the production of episode one.
Excellent. And now let's tell me a little bit about TMC, you know, because we've been talking about Hired Steel, but you haven't, you know, maybe we just dropped mentions of that so people understand kind of what, where it's coming from, where everything here is coming from.
So, yeah, just quickly, TMC originally stood for Tamar Media Company, since, like I said, we were part of a competitive Mech Warrior Online unit. Mm-hmm. I guess we had like 80 members back then. And like I said, the people in the unit came together to make a video for the unit, for recruitment in the Mech Warrior Online forums or whatever people used back then. And that video was so successful that people from other units contacted us, hey, can you make a video for us as well? So we ended up making videos for Clan Ghostbeer International, the Mech Rangers, 36 D-Ron, Phoenix Legion, exactly, yeah. That was the first one where we did like proper 3D stuff. So it grew from like a unit service unit into more like a standalone little group. We never did anything commercial or something. It was always just fan video focused. And then, yeah, a few years back, the MechWarrior Online thing just dwindled out for us, and we started moving into other games. And then I approached the guys early in 2020 when I was hit by the lockdown as well, and said, like, yeah, do you want to sit down and make a full CG 3D movie with me? And they were on board again, and so we just ramped up the TMC again.
Awesome. And Andreas, what's, in terms of your setup, I know Constantine had sent me some kind of notes on how everybody contributed, and yours had rigging in there. So not being an animation guy, I'm not familiar with the term, so what is that exactly in that creation process?
The rigging or the animation?
The rigging.
The rigging. In the first, we exported the asset from MechWarrior Online, the Mech. And we have to build our own rig for every mech with like bones. And you need a bone on every part of the mech to move them. They have a rig coming from DJI, but it wasn't that good or bad. It's not that what we required for our work. So my work was to set up a rig, which you can easily pose, you can easily move the mech in the desired position. And then I started to make some walk cycles, just the regular simple walk. I don't know if you see the videos Constantine made, where he shows our process for the involvement of the walk cycle, so that it looked realistic. That's in the first was my work and the most important part of rigging. Yes.
Yeah, and it's funny, in all my conversations with Bruins, we've talked a little bit about kind of movement and also through the conversation, the roundtable conversations that I've had, we talked a little bit about kind of how mechs move, and it's such a controversial topic within the Battletech community in terms of like how dynamic should they be, how tank-like, how clunky, and so kind of what kind of inspired you guys, in terms of thinking kind of how they should move, because, having gotten a chance to kind of watch it and kind of seen, I like to see the difference, between the mobility and say, a locust versus a rifleman. But, kind of what were you guys kind of constrained within the MechWarrior Online models that you had to work with, and kind of what's kind of inspired, because everyone has their opinion on that.
I mean, what definitely is a big difference is the difference between 2D and 3D art, because we are constrained by the shapes and joints and architecture of the models. And even if we made our own models, which we are now, by the way, for the coming episodes, we have own mech models that are made by the community and contributed. But even then, if you can decide the join shape and stuff, you are still very constrained. So you can't stretch your leg out like you could in 2D animation. I can tell you that we had the discussion about how mechs move as well, quite long, actually, very long. The walk cycle and rigging process was very extensive. I guess it took at least a month until we had the first walk cycle down, and then we just kind of applied the same principle to the other mechs. So there was a lot of back and forth between Andreas and me. But in the end, we decided to make them quite dynamic. So you would be shaken around quite a bit in the mechs, but we just thought that for a film, so not a game, for a film, when you have mechs that are completely stabilized, it just looks weird. It might be super effective and it might be necessary for a game where you're actually in the seat, and it might be also super realistic because modern tanks, they don't move their guns as well. It's completely stabilized, but it just looks weird if you have a mech that's running and it's like completely still. So in the end, we decided for a quite dynamic approach. So I guess if you take a look at the low-cost scene in episode one, you can see that it's as dynamic as we can make it with a 3D animation, at least with our limited resources.
Right. And let's, if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and we'll pull it up and we can kind of dive in and watch, you know, and you guys, we can talk a little bit about each scene. Now, yeah. do you guys want to dive into the pilot first, or do you want to just kind of do the second episode? You want to do both?
I mean, we can do the pilot because there's actually a lot of difference between the pilot and the first episode. Okay. I will pull up the pilot on YouTube. Give me 1 second. Yeah, there we go.
Perfect. All right, let's
okay. So this is the pilot episode. This is the one we made last year until summer. And yeah, I can just play it and we can go through.
Yeah, and feel free, you know, stop as we go. I'm assuming that people can kind of cut out and play this on their own separately, but.
Yeah. So, I mean, the intro, obviously, just a quick note, I think everybody should have sort of noticed by now. We attempted to make like a little homage to the famous MW3 intro or a cinematic where they come through the fog. And yeah, so this is like a full scale smoke simulation, which took like quite a while to render. Yeah.
I remember when I was talking to Bruins, he was talking about just how challenging the smoke was because he had this scene where the dragon kind of steps out of the smoke and it's not an easy render.
So I think this was like 700 frames or something. The simulation time alone must have been more than 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah. So we kind of copied it. I even asked the new CEO of MicroProse if it was okay. And he said, like, yeah, sure, go ahead.
Awesome. is that George Lido, you know, that you guys have voiceover on that?
Yeah, sure. We have been working together with George since pretty much day one. So it must have been like 7 years now. So he knows us and he does us these little favors once in a while when we ask ask him for a fan work. Yeah. So yeah, this is the opening shot. This is the Leopard dropship approaching Planet Iron Land. This is the bridge. I guess I have to say a few words about this as well. We always wanted to show the Leopard inside. So this took quite a while for me. This is completely built from the ground up, textured, lit, rendered. The only stuff that we used is the outside geometry from PGI, but we completely retextured that as well.
Awesome. Yeah, that initial shot looks great. A bit of approaching the planet.
Yeah. We have this asset saved for later because there will be some more action on this bridge. But for the pilot, obviously, we have to show it quickly. And then we go into the hangar for the first time. This is kind of where we built up a little cinematic version of the Leopard hangar. It was very quick. We were inspired a lot by the first teaser for Star Wars Episode 7, where you can see the stormtroopers in this in this little dropship. So that was kind of the inspiration behind it. Andreas did the scene first of all in Unreal Engine 4, so the MechWarrior 5 mod editor, and then we decided to move it completely into Blender.
Gotcha.
The rest of this pilot is rendered in Maya, by the way. That's what I use for my daily work. Back then I still used Maya, which sadly was the cause that I had to render it all by myself because nobody else owned a licensed copy of Maya.
Oh boy.
And we have another shot of the planet and then the entry burn of the dropship. Yeah, and this is the money shot where Bernard came in. He completely did this from the ground up, obviously working off PGIS geometry. I mean, Bernard, do you want to say a few words about this shot?
I can. Yeah, some of the geometry is from the original PGI cockpit, but I stripped quite a lot of things, especially the geometry here in the middle where the radar now is located. Modeled buttons, did the screens, put the lighting, and also adapted a bit the animation of the pilot, which already came with the model, but I wanted to give it a little bit of an individual touch. And yeah, so that's basically it. It's just a few seconds, and I wished I could have shown a little bit more of the cockpit, because quite a lot of work went into it. But yeah, I think it turned out nice, and the background there is also assets from MechWarrior 5 and some hand model assets I smashed together, rendered out separately with smoke, and that's it basically.
Yeah, it looks great.
And now for the first episode, obviously we had to make the complete backside of the Shadowhawk. So that is a combination of self modeled and a little bit of PGI geo as well. But yeah, obviously, and that's something I wanted to say about all of this. We have these assets now ready, so we can use the cockpit, and we don't have to completely remake it from the ground up. So for the next episodes, we have a perfect Shadowhawk cockpit ready.
Excellent. Yeah, and you were mentioning Astartes. It's you know, do you think that's why, you know, each episode got longer and longer as it went? Is just, you know, once those kind of things were rendered, that it was kind
yeah,
of
definitely, really and yeah. And also, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the creator of Astartes, I think Sima Patterson is his name, but I'm not sure. Sorry if I butchered your name.
Sima, I think, yeah.
Yeah, he's obviously a pretty experienced artist, but you learn so much going through these productions. Because I mean, I'm the only like professional 3D artist in this group. The other guys all have normal jobs. So production of such a fan project is very different from what you do in an agency or big post house daily. So I'm assuming that he obviously. I'm pretty sure that he definitely learned a lot about the whole pipeline and the process. So it enabled him to make the episodes longer and longer. And then obviously you have people coming in and helping. So the pilot, we pretty much did on our own. And for episode one, we had amazing help with the music and the vehicles and the modeling already. And I'm hoping that that continues for episode two.
Yeah. And as these kind of build forward, you know, just a quick shout, where can people kind of throw support behind you guys if there's either a talent or, you know, funding?
I mean, you can always approach us wherever you want. I mean, we are all over Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. So if you want to help us out, just shoot us a message. And then obviously we have the TMC Patreon. That's not limited to Hired Steel. That's for the whole TMC. But that obviously helps as well, because the energy cost of rendering this project alone was like three digits or four digits. That definitely helps, yeah.
Awesome. And I'll put that link down below for people if they want to kind of throw some support behind you guys.
Yeah. I mean, we are always looking for help in 3D. I mean, if you know Blender, that obviously helps, but we appreciate everything.
Awesome.
So yeah, this like I said, this was one of the shots that came out of Maya. This is one of the terrain shots where you have the leopard like flying low. And yeah, then we have the first vehicle shot. This is our own vehicle. This was modeled by a colleague of us, Carl Streiger is his name. He's also all over Facebook and Twitter with his stuff.
Awesome.
I think he makes these minis for custom 3D prints, so you can have them for your Battletech sessions, like the tabletop sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And he made this little scout APC for us as well. And this is obviously very important in the first episode as well.
Very cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you obviously all know the pilot. That's pretty much it. I mean, this is stuff done by Andreas again as well. Very awesome shots. And then we have the drop scene. The landing here, it's like 3D simulations in Houdini. I do these in Houdini with the smoke and the particle stuff. We can go into detail on that later, maybe for a quick look.
I love the detail just of the dirt getting kicked up by the mechs walking, you know, as it goes through.
Yeah, that has been quite a lot of work. You would be surprised how hard it is to get a animated Alembic cache to render with cycles properly. It has caused quite some headaches in our rendering pipeline, but in the end, we solved it. Yeah. So that's our mercenaries starting into motion, and that's where episode one picks off. I think we said a few hours later, so after the pilot in the timeline.
Yeah. One of my personal favorite scenes, if you can rewind it late, a little bit back, just of course, I don't know how many times I redo this scene. Not the landing, the first when they walk. I did a version with all four mechs walking, show it to the rest of the TMC. They say, okay, please do it again. I think I redone this 10, 15 times. And the hard job is to get the foods to the ground. Not to go in detail, but it's a lot of work to get the foods not striding again the environment. So I love to hate this show.
Basically hand animating and placing the feet so they don't seem to be sliding on the ground, right?
Yeah. Which then is another problem for simulation, because if you have feet not properly contacting the geometry, the simulation algorithm I'm using is not properly triggering. So then I have to correct these footsteps, and it's more work than you would think.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's our pilot, and then give me 1 second. I can pull up the version 32 of the episode one. So there it is, and that's the story is picking up a few hours after the pilot happens. Okay. So we start with this big panning shot. I mean, Planet Iron Land. If you check the lore, it's a very interesting planet. It's a combination of deserts and very dense pine forests. And we attempted to recreate this with this valley and the other scenes.
Yeah, this is the terrain looks great, but I love the framing in this opening shot for this.
Yeah.
But we'll let the people see it.
I mean, we for basically all of the shots, all kinds of people in the TMC posted inspiration from other movies and there's this saying that everything is a remix. So I guess episode one is a big remix of stuff that has been there and our own imagination. But this opening shot has turned out really, really cool. Yeah, it's true.
Well, you mentioned Star Wars before. And I mean, George Lucas did all those space battles based on what World War One, you know, I think video footage, World War II video footage. So yeah.
Yeah. So this drone will reappear later in Hardsteel as well. It's one of our own assets too. I think I did this model pretty much completely this time. That was my 3D modeling job. I do this rarely, but when I do it, it's really, really fun. Yeah, so this opening shot, and then we go into the close-up. This as well... again, without going into too much technical detail, but we do these scenes in real scale. So in order for us to have the scaling between the mechs and the environment and the people right, we have to do it on real scale. So obviously this drone was a few kilometers out, and the internal kernel of Blender is still 32-bit, I think. So what we actually started getting into is trace precision errors. for all of you familiar with it, when you have a 32-bit room for your numbers, it starts to get precision problems after a distance. So with that shot, we had weird geometry flickering. We had the glass not working. The camera was shaking. So in the end, we pinned the drone statically and made the environment move like in the old silence movies.
Yeah. Now it's a perfect solution.
Yeah. But that's the kind of stuff that you run into. Yeah. And this is my personal nemesis. I think I'm not over exaggerating when I'm saying that this probably took me 2 months and held up the process quite a bit. The other guys were moving along very quickly in the process, especially when the two of them were animating at the same time. And I was stuck with this shot because this is all completely self-modeled again. And I severely underestimated the task of building up this abandoned base. It's way too detailed for the drone shot detail, of course. So we will get down to the ground eventually. But yeah, that's our forward operating pirate base that they set up in this old SLDF weapons depot.
That's great. And I love kind of seeing the people walking around in their shadows and the light. That's, great detail.
Yeah. I mean, we can go a little bit of treasure hunting. I mean, there's actually a little Starlink defense force I can hear up there. Mm. It's very rusted, so you can barely see it. There's people walking over these walls. There's one guy down here. And then, like I said, it's probably a little bit too detailed, but again, now we have this asset and now we can speed up the pipeline a little bit more.
Perfect.
Yeah. And again, these vehicles are all custom made except for the Thunderbolt, but the Thunderbolt Bernard touched up quite a lot as well, but you will see that in the coming episodes.
So Charlie, were you the one that decided what mechs get used as the story man?
Yeah, mostly.
Awesome.
When I took up the idea for this episode and wrote what is happening, I also was imagining which vehicle would fit best for the scenes. Mm-hmm. And immediately I remembered those awesome models by Karl Steiger, what he did in the past, and thought, okay, we need him in the team and we need his vehicles just to pull up this shot.
Yeah, because there's not much MechWarrior themed vehicles that you can pull up, and also we don't want to mishmash arc starts too much. So obviously there's always the possibility to just buy assets from stores.
Yeah.
There's millions of assets online, but by getting them custom made, they all have the same art style, and I think they fit very well together. Yeah. And then for this drone shot, I think the inspiration was a recording from the US police where they chase some guy down the highway with like a helicopter and the thermal camera and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of based our head-up display on that.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we have the first character. So early in the process, we had the discussion if we actually want to bite the bullet and show 3D characters. And I remember that I was against it.
What I can say, Constantine throwing a centrum when Bernard and I say we have to use 3D characters. He was he has an opinion that would be a problem. How do you call it? The ugly lane or?
The uncanny valley.
Uncanny valley, yeah.
Uncanny valley, yes.
Yeah.
So we put a lot of effort to the characters. They're based on that's 3D characters and exported to Blender and edited there. Get a new shader done by Bernard or Constantine. I don't remember.
Combination.
Yes. But in the end, I think it's turned out really good.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm the guy that does this as his day job as well. And I remember that my old supervisor at my old agency was always like, yeah, we don't do humans because that never works. And I mean, obviously these guys are not perfectly photorealistic as well as you would expect it from like a Marvel movie or stuff, but we actually have to hand animate them. So there's no facial capture or something.
Well, I mean, even the big studios aren't out of the Uncanny Valley yet, you know, yeah. between Luke yeah. and Leia and Star Wars yeah. and what, Grand Moff Tarkin, but yeah.
No. So, I mean, in the end, the guys pulled it off very nicely, especially considering that this is hand animated and everybody who ever did something like this knows how crazy hard it is to get human motion in mm-hmm. hand animation right, and it's a perfect job.
Yeah, it's a completely different thing than animating mechs, which nobody has seen in real life and nobody recognizes how they would move. But a human, I mean, everybody knows subconsciously how they move and they detect the slightest thing which is off. And so that was quite a challenge, but I think we did quite a good job.
So are you guys sitting at home with cameras on yourself, kind of, you know, acting out your scenes and then trying to replicate yeah. it? Awesome.
Yeah, that's actually what I did, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I mean, that's how you have to do it. We have, I think it's over 200 muscles in our face alone. And obviously we don't have that in our 3D characters. So that's always just an approximation. Yeah. But like I said, for the time we had, and I want to stress that again, since we haven't mentioned it, this is our hobby. So we do this after hours, after work. Most of the guys in here have kids. I have a girlfriend to take care of. So it's crazy how we even managed to pull this off. But that's why it took 6 months. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so continuing, I mean, he gets all the data in his command central. He is the guy inside the Muskrat. So the Muskrat is the drone control vehicle,
the drone is piloted. You're saying?
Yeah. Drone is piloted.
It's not a remote drone. Okay, interesting.
We try to stress that by this control screen up here and joystick that he's handling. But like I said, this episode, I guess, works most of like an establishing episode for the rest of the story, because all the elements that we see in this episode will reappear later. So the drone, the bridge, the mechs, the pirates.
So then the question, can you call it a drone if it's piloted?
No, it's not. It's you misunderstand it. It's not a pilot, it's a remote pilot.
Got it. All right. So is he in the Leopard, or is he on the ground or something?
On the ATC, on the Muskrat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Got it. All right.
That's why the Muskrat has this big satellite dish. And I mean, perfect. We try to tell that story by the next shot.
Okay.
So this cut here. So we cut just outside. He's sitting in here and controlling the drone from the ground up.
Perfect.
Yeah. So then we have the first shot of our mechs and... you can see the next thing. We actually worked with animated trees for the foreground. Mm-hmm. The trees were quite an adventure as well until we got those right, because those are hand generated as well. And in these programs, you have to, let's call it, you have to grow them and you have to prune them and you have to add little growing variables. And until it was looking like this, we had a lot of funny shaped trees.
So what you're saying is your next video is going to be set on like a spaceport where everything is solid and doesn't move.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you watch the Astartes movies, he actually was a lot cleverer than us, because his episodes always happen in darkness. Mm. Because if you see his earlier making ofs, he's able to hide so much in the darkness and in the shadow. It's not saying that he's cheating out or anything, not by any means, but it's just cutting down on the work that you have to do as an individual. And I think we all underestimate that a little bit, but in the end, we managed to somehow render this giant environment with 7 billion trees and stuff.
Awesome. So I love the light, you know, reflecting, and yeah, it looks great.
So in a way, environment is almost like animating humans, because it's also, especially with all this vegetation, it's really hard to get right. And would have been easier to do an Arctic scene or a desert for sure.
Yeah, or like a No Man's Sky alien landscape, because you don't have a visual reference how a fern or how a pine tree looks like. on an alien planet, but we do. So we kind of took the hard route, but I guess it paid off in the end.
That looks great. You guys did well.
We have our Merc Lance stomping on, and then we have our next character. This guy is actually voiced by Tex from the Black Pants Legion. I think you know him.
Yep.
He did a great job. He recorded like two or three takes from all his lines and did little variations and proofreads, but all our voice actors did. So shout out to these guys. I mean, we are not able to offer any kind of payment because we are not making any profit ourselves. Quite the contrary. So it's definitely a very, very great help, and we are thankful for every voice actor that we have.
Awesome.
Yeah, so this is our Lance Commander guy. He's sitting in the Shadow cockpit, and like I mentioned with the pilot, you have the backdrop here that's completely self-modeled by Austin, one of our freelance members, I guess you could call him. He's known as M42A, I think, in the MechWarrior community, and you know him from the Atlas II or the Quickdraw mechs that he posts, the line art stuff. So then I took this and textured it, and we built a cockpit out of this. And the seat as well is also custom asset, and the helmet and all the other stuff in here. Yeah. Awesome.
You guys tried reaching out to Alan So at all? I think is that the right name? He did a Timberwolf cockpit.
Oh, yeah. Bernhard back then made a big reference collection of cockpit shots from MechWarrior games. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a part of that as well. I only then made the connection afterwards because I think you published one of his artworks, the Timberwolf, and then I looked at it and was pretty blown away because the cockpit he made is obviously like super crazy.
Yeah, he does that professionally though. He's not amateur.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we reach out to everyone we can. I mean, the problem we had in the end is we had more help than we could use, because the problem is always the weakest link in the chain, and the weakest link in the chain was just me setting up all scenes to render and getting it out all, because episode one has 36 shots. So 36 full CG shots with all custom setups and settings, and keeping track of all that was a really hard task.
Yeah, I gotta say this Locust look, that outside shot looks amazing. That's definitely my favorite unit that we've seen so far.
Thank you. I mean, the Locust, he got a little custom treatment as well. We tried to make it look more piratey. Bernhard did all of the modeling for the custom weapons, for the machine guns and stuff, and then the texture does a lot as well.
It looks great. I love the black and white too.
Yeah, I mean, we are kind of constrained by the low poly assets from PGI, because obviously the geometry is from them. They have the high poly stuff on their servers, and my dream would be to get high poly meshes from them, but I guess they can't do that.
Yeah.
So I have to work with a very low resolution normal map. So the mechs that we render are all 8K, and the normal map that we get from PGI, which has all this custom detail, is 1K. And I have to AI upscale that and do all kind of tricks to get it looking a little bit more modern. Because obviously, I mean, these maps were made in 2012 when they made MWO. So,
okay.
Yeah. So then we go into the cockpit of the Locust, and this guy is kind of chilling out when he's disturbed by our mercenary Lance. He has his passive radar on to not get spotted immediately. And then before he gets a chance to voice to his HQ, as soon as he turns on his mech, the mercenaries obviously get a blip on their radar, and then they immediately try to take him out. And we have the brawler hunchback taking a shot. this guy has gotten the reactive armor treatment. We tried to make the Hunchback even more brawly by giving him like claws and anti-personal mines and like a chef dispenser and explosive reactive armor plates and stuff. So this is our close quarter specialist. Yeah. And then he immediately takes a shot when he sees the Hunchback start up. He misses, but he hits the antenna. So
that was a she, right? That's your female pilot.
Exactly. Yeah, we try to get a little bit more diversity into the pilots because obviously, especially in the books, the universe is quite diverse as well, and we wanted to hop in on that. And I thought it was kind of cool getting that in.
And who voiced that?
That's Aggie Law Girls is her name. She's a streamer.
Okay.
But if you watch the episode, we have all the names listed up in the credits, so you can check them out.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then he obviously tries to voice back. Doesn't work. Little clunky thing. And then they're trying to take him out.
This is my favorite shot here. Just that those tracers following it.
Yeah,
that looks.
I mean, there's this disparity between BattleTech and the MechWarrior games because in like the real BattleTech or the BattleTech video game, most of your shots don't hit, especially over distance. So we try to get it a little bit more realistic, so that actually like 1 out of 20 shots is hitting. But that's already enough for the weak knee joint of the locust because it's a direct hit.
Right.
So, yeah. Let's watch this sequence again because so much work has gone into this. We have the UAC spinning up on the rifleman, and then he gets a splash hit from the laser and the tracers. One hits. Cuts the leg off, and then the locust is down.
That shot was quite a lot of work as well, because there's so much going on, and we had to get the glow on the armor with dynamic paint maps. Mm-hmm. So the laser was basically painting a black and white map on the texture to make it glow in that area. Then some particle effects when the knee joint gets blown off and actually animating the falling or the fall of the locust was also quite hard.
Yeah.
The walk or run cycles Andreas did on this guy, they were already great, and the animation effort was pretty low, but once you have to create animation, which is physical and dynamic, that's pretty hard stuff to get right.
Yeah. I mean, there's this thing that you always notice with CG, especially if it's not simulated but animated. A lot of the time, what really breaks the immersion is the weight of 3D objects. So what's really hard when you are animating is to get the weight feel right, especially when it's a heavy object, because you always tend to underestimate the reaction that something makes when it falls down or reacts to something.
Yeah.
So this as well, like all the other stuff, went through probably, I don't know, 10, 20, 15 different versions until we were happy with it. We did weekly meetings, and then we did bi-weekly meetings to discuss the process that we have done in between. And then we have a project controlling software that we use, that was one of the shots that was iterated upon a lot, yeah. And then you have small parts of the mech that are actually simulated. So like these little hinges here, they are actually simulations. So these are not hand animated. They react to the physical falling of the 3D object. I don't know if we can see that.
No, yeah, I saw them bouncing. Yeah.
Actually, I trashed the simulation. I finally hand animated that thing.
All right.
Okay. Well, then I take that back. But I mean, we have the antennas for all the mechs that these are simulated. They are wiggling around. Yeah. Then we have the launch of the jump jets. And then we go in for the surrendering call. And that's one thing we discussed internally as well, because the first plan was to have him just shoot the pilot immediately. But then we realized that might be more brutal than we want our characters to be. So if he gives him the chance, because the mech is obviously disabled and the pilot is pretty close to dying already, to shut off his mech, get out and surrender. But he doesn't.
Well, I'm sure even the most brutal mercenary would love free salvage as opposed to slagging it.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah. I mean, the locust would have been worth more with not a giant hole in his face.
Yeah.
And this shot is so crazy as well. I mean, Bernard, you did this, so if you can say a few details, especially about the face of the guy.
Oh yeah, I really felt sorry to let this guy go because I did the character animation and also the previous shots when the guy is starting up the locust. And in this shot, you see that he's bleeding out of his nose, and I thought if he's falling that hard, probably the visor would get into his face and leave a cut here. So this is hand painted afterwards to give the impression that he is a little bit affected by the fall.
Yeah,
and yeah, a lot of animation passes as well, because you have to make the lip sync match the voiceover, or the lip movement match the voiceover we got. And I got quite late, so I had an idea what he had to say, and I prepared it kind of. But then had to redo and really sync the lip movement to the voiceover we got.
Yeah.
So a lot of animation passes for these two shots.
That would have been a learning that we have now as well. Start way earlier with the music and the voiceover, because that we kind of caught up a lot of work that we probably didn't have to do. But yeah, that's how you learn. Yeah, then he obviously, I mean, here you can see the locust is really patched together, so you have cables attached with duct tape and stuff. It's really not the best shape mech. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but in lore, most of these mechs are actually very old. These guys are not taking that much care about their equipment.
And Charlie, when is this set? What year is this supposed to be in?
It's supposed to be in the year 41.
Okay.
So you can say just some years after the first succession war. And our pirates, a little detail on that one, they are remnants of the long fallen Rimworld Republic, Amaris Dragoons.
Okay.
So that explains the coloring of the mechs, also the pirate emblem, and also why their mechs are so tattered. They are taped together and very, really in bad shape.
Yeah. And I try to pick it up in the texturing as well. So the mechs from outside have rust where you have the paint scrape away and the bare metal is exposed. They start to rust a little bit, and then we have all these broken steps and smaller pieces that are hanging off the mix. So Bernard put an amazing amount of effort into this cockpit.
Oh yeah.
And I think in the end, this was even more custom made than the Shadowhawk one.
And I'm glad that the duct tape is finally visible in this shot, because it also cost me a bit to model it and to make it appear that it's really stuck to the surface. Without even knowing if the final shots would show it, and some other details like the duct tape here. But yeah, and probably people won't notice when they watch it the first time, but perhaps they watch it two or three times, they get hold of all these little details we put in, hopefully.
Yeah, and I mean,
especially if they're watching this this podcast.
I would love to see it with a fresh eye, because the problem you always have when you work on something for that long, I've seen this video in all of its versions probably 1,000 times now.
Yeah.
And I don't notice anything anymore. You get so work blind, I just forget that this detail is even there.
Yeah, I mean, I get that to some degree, editing Renegade HVG, and just that appreciation for editing and seeing things over and over again is not my strong suit. I was just watching the Snyder Cut of Justice League last week, 4 hours, and I couldn't imagine how much time, you know, these people have seen the same thing over and over again. So yeah. It's, you know, I appreciate what you're saying. To be able to watch it with fresh eyes is nice. Yeah. Well, you'll be able to get to see DC Bruins new animatic with fresh eyes, because that should be coming out in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. That's something great as well, because his animation style is and his whole video style is so completely different from ours. Mm-hmm. I think we can learn quite a bit from his way of making stuff appear in movement. Like I said, it's hard to translate that one-on-one into 3D, but that's definitely something that he really does exceedingly well. And I always love how fluid the light makes move in his animations. But a quick tip, if you are a creator and you get work blind of your work, make a render of it flipped. If you flip it, mirror it, sorry, then the brain has to rewire and it appears more fresh to you. If that ever happens to you, that's a common trick. Some programs even have a shortcut for that, because that's so common in our industry. So yeah, there's this. Yeah, he then decides to take on the Shadowhawk in front of him with his two remaining light machine guns, which obviously doesn't work. So you see all the little impacts here, and again, this is all dynamic pain. So these glow for, I don't know how many frames, Bernard, but they glow after they are hit, and then this little decal appears.
Yeah, I think about 100 frames, and also particle work on the cockpit, and that was quite a lot of work. And I was even counting how many shots he probably could put out in these 100 frames or 4 seconds to make it kind of be realistic. And
yeah,
the answer is the little more than you had time to deal with.
I hope these little details are appreciated, and probably they are not noted. I mean, if it's not noted, if it doesn't stick out, then probably it's we've done a good job. They don't, or they look natural.
Yeah,
and add to the picture.
Yeah, then we obviously have the final moments of the locust pilot's life. This scene, I think, was the most heavy 2D compositing scene that I did. Because all of the stuff that begins here is like completely overlaid in 2D. And we even have casings eject from the UAC5. but yeah. Yeah. Then Locus is burning out. The guys are moving on to the designated target. So in the distance there in the mountain, there's the base at the foot of the hill. And maybe in the next episode, we see them arrive there.
Maybe.
Maybe we have a full episode of them moving through the forest.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's us. Us four. And then the awesome rest of the team. I mean, there's our amazing cast, obviously. And then additional crew. I want to give a quick shout out to these guys, especially Patrick, Kristen, Austin, and Eldon. Patrick did the music for this episode. Some of you maybe know him under his artist name, Prono Bozo. He does this kind of EDM dance music. You can find him on Spotify. Then Christian or Karl Streiger, and then Austin, or he wanted to be mentioned with his art station name. Sorry if I said that wrong. It's a Geiger A42, but you know him from his name M42A. They did the custom vehicle modeling for us, and then we have Eldon Cowgirl, the guy that made the T-shirt that you are wearing right now.
Right here.
Yes, exactly.
Eldon, for the next round, you can't get this one. Actually, I think he does have some extras, so hop on real quick and on Instagram, yeah. Eldonius Rex, probably the easiest way to connect with him.
Yeah, I approached him. He made this awesome 2D concept of our mix in blazing amount of time, and then Bernard turned that into the 3D poster that's used as a thumbnail and was posted by me, I think, a few days ago. Yeah. And then obviously we have Nick, who's our Houdini tool dev. He's not directly in TMC, but he's a real life friend of mine. He programmed some Houdini algorithms for us that we use for the next step calculation and the other stuff that's custom made. And then Tim helped out with rendering as well. And then we have all our patrons that keep the TMC afloat. Big thanks to those. And then we have the special thanks, obviously, you. I mean, you've pushed us quite a lot during this time. And then all the other content creators and all the other guys from the Discords and stuff. And then, of course, our families who've been mighty patient with us, spending a lot of late nights on this. And then our contacts. And that's the first episode of Hired Steel.
Awesome. Can't wait. How many episodes are you projecting?
I think I'm not allowed to say anything.
All right. Well, gag order on that one. Very cool. Well, yeah. What's, you know, what are you guys' favorite shots in there? You know, is there one or two that each of you are especially proud of? I know when you paused it with that locust down in the dirt. Oh man, that looked good.
Yeah, I mean the facepalm of the whole locust sequence, I think, is one of my personal favorites.
Yeah, that shot of the locust just coming across with the tracers following them. Oh, that's such a great shot. Yeah.
And then
Bernard's highlight where the laser hit. That's good detail.
Then obviously the glowing stump and stuff. Yeah, I think that's my favorite shot. What about you guys?
Technically, I'm most proud of the final shot of the Shadowhawk pilot or Lance Commander. I think the animation, the character animation, turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. Doing animation work for all shots. I don't know if I have a favorite. And as Constantine said, I would like to see it with fresh eyes, forget everything.
Yeah.
Just for a day.
Yeah. And watch. You need it, one of those Men in Black flash sticks, right?
Yeah, exactly. The problem would be that you would probably think, oh no, let's do it all over again.
Yeah. And that, the opening shot too with that drone is really good. I really like that shot.
Yeah,
and it's a good dynamic intro to a scene. You know, I can't pin it, but that's definitely, I can see the inspiration from something.
Yes, but, this shot is inspired by Dredd, the movie Dredd.
Okay. Oh, what a great movie that is!
Opening scene is a drone flying to a city, and we use this as an inspiration for this shot.
Yeah, and then I mean, obviously these slow panning aerial shots. I mean, every second Adam Sandler movie starts with a panning shot of the Golden Gate Bridge. Mm. So that's obviously how to start. that's I guess turned out fine.
But my favorite scene is the rifleman shooting, because it's one of the most action scene in this video.
Mm-hmm.
This one.
A little bit far.
Yeah.
Wasn't that really powerful design?
Yeah.
It's we drew a lot of inspiration from all the Warhammer fan animations. I mean, obviously our starters, but there's other for Warhammer 40k stuff. The Warhammer 40k community has the advantage of being about 50 times larger than the BattleTech community is. So they are much more afloat with community 3D projects and other art. So there's a giant pool of great ideas that we can be inspired from.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping with the gallery we can identify some more and get them interested. I know with Bruins would be the first one that's coming out in the next couple of days, and then I think then I've talked to Jared Owen, you know, for later this year because he's super busy now about doing a piece. But the next one, I think I'll track down a concept artist and give them a short story and have them basically spit out like I don't know however many concept art sketch that we can afford with the gallery, and so try to pull new people in. We'll catch up to Warhammer one of these days.
One day. What I want to say is, I mean, we are obviously very biased towards 3D art. So if anybody is interested in doing 3D, it has been becoming so accessible over the past years. I mean, obviously, Bernard, you've been doing 3D art for quite a long while. I think you even did stuff for MechWarrior 4, right?
No, for MechWarrior 4, I was doing maps, but I mean, I started with 3D when I was 16, and that was on MS-DOS and Palfrey, if anyone remembers that.
So right now, I mean, computers have become so powerful that you can render these kinds of full CG shots in your living room. And there's free software. Obviously, we work with Blender mainly. We have some paid programs in the pipeline, but you can pull off project like this with a zero software cost. So if you want to get into it, just go on YouTube, search for a tutorial for the stuff you want to do and get started. And if you want to make mech art, you can always shoot us a message and we will help you out.
Very cool. So have you guys already started on the next episode, or are you guys taking a little breather before you dive in?
So what's really important is after production like this, especially like as well, if you're working in a professional environment, all your systems and servers, they look like a bomb exploded. So we have a hosted cloud somewhere where we work all in sync. And that started out with a nice structure.
Well, that sounds a lot like my hard drive, you know, these days.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is that this just blows up exponentially, and we have 500 gigabytes of 3D data that we have to organize and clean up, and missing textures and broken references and versions of stuff that's from December that we don't have to keep around anymore. So our current plan is to so currently we are planning the story. We are actually I think pretty decided on what we want to do roughly, and then we will parallelly start concepting and animating the first stuff, and while we are doing that, we are cleaning up our pipeline, so the next episode isn't so heavy on the pre-production side and we can focus more on getting longer shots and longer animation and more action. And because what you have to keep in mind for this episode, we had to create all of this stuff in addition to creating the episode itself. So all the assets, all the vehicles, all the scenery, the effects, porting it all over from Maya to Blender. But that's done now, so we can work with this stuff. You hear that a lot if you follow game development that's in alpha or beta. The developers always talk about that they have these broad blockers, and once they get over that, the pace will pick up. So that's what we are hoping to get from this 3 to 4 weeks of cleaning up now.
Wonderful. And if people want to support you guys, is it TMC on Patreon? What's the Patreon tag?
TMC was taken, so we are TMCDE.
TMCDE. All right. What's DE stand for?
Deutschland.
Okay. All right. Do it. Excellent. So TMCDE, don't give those other TMCA guys your money. You know, support these guys and help them pay for all those the electricity bills from rendering these fine animations.
Yeah.
Awesome. What, you know, are there other outside projects, you know, the rest of the team is working on? You know, I know Bernard, what's your YouTube channel, Bernard? I can't remember off the top of my head. I'll definitely link it down below for people though. But if anyone's listening, you know, what's the name of that?
Just called Raul on YouTube. That's R-A-U-L.
Okay. Excellent. And is that, did you do the MechWarrior 2 redo, the 31st Century Combat, or just the Mercenaries one?
Just the Mercenaries one.
Right, because there is a, there's another one out there that too that looks good. But yeah, all of the Mercenaries. Final tagline. Look at this way, kid. You get to keep all the money.
Yeah, I love that intro more than the 31st Centuries.
Yeah.
I have very good fond memories of that time and period of my life, and also the game itself. And I remember how amazed I was when I watched the intro.
Yeah.
And that's probably the reason I picked this as a project to redo and to tune my skills in 3D again. And looking back now at it, I also progressed with this Hired Steel episode one that I would do so much different nowadays, also having better hardware. But yeah, it basically brought me the attention of these guys. So I'm happy to be working now on such good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of, over three corners, I found your post on the Blender Artist Forum and then shot you a direct message there and then sent you a Discord invite. So it worked out in the end. I mean, for me, obviously, I'm a little bit younger. I grew up with MechWarrior 3 and my dad gave it to me back then, the game. And I remember watching the intro over and over and over every time I started the game. And I found it so crazy well done how they told the story of these giant machines. They looked so heavy and crazy, and you could actually pilot them then. And then obviously MechWarrior 4 came out. And
that's what inspired it. I hope I'm remembering this, the artist name right, but I think it's Punakedu on DeviantArt that did an illustration of like that opening shot with the summoner and the Timberwolf looking down on the city. Beautiful shot. I've tried to get it into some custom cards, but the shot is too wide to fit on the card, so I'm like, how can I do that? but yeah, that's a great scene, and I was laughing because Bruins did a little homage to it in his free hat, where one of the infantry gets stepped on, like the poor guy.
Yeah.
McGuire, that trip.
The screaming guy, yeah.
He's got the Wilhelm scream going there.
Yeah,
perfect. Yeah. What about you, Charlie? What are you working on next here?
Ooh, I'm trying not to work on any other projects when TMC.
Yeah.
My real life job is pretty stressful and busy, so I'm glad if I can do TMC stuff in my free time.
Excellent. Very cool. Andreas, what about you?
Just keep on with TMC stuff.
Excellent.
Not too much free time.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, COVID's given us all too much free time. I mean, Renegade HPG is a COVID baby, you know, so.
Yeah.
Hired Steel is a COVID baby as well. Yeah. And I mean, Andreas, you're severely underestimating what you're doing. You're building a house and a family at the same time. So I guess that has to be mentioned as well. It takes some time.
It's tough too, especially in the COVID. Mine's 4 years old. And she's basically half of my week is parenting full time. And then the rest is doing what I can to pay bills. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time and chatting about this. You know, I hope you guys get lots of attention. I'll kind of do what I can to kind of steer it your way and give people a little behind the scenes. And we'll put you on the tentative books for episode 2. When it comes out, so we'll do it again. We'll kind of do a little director's commentary. These are always fun. I love doing it, sharing with the community. But so we got TMCDE on Patreon, and then on Twitter. You think it's Hired? You have a Hired Steel one specifically?
We have a Hired Steel account. Yeah, we snacked up that tech.
Perfect. At Hired Steel, and definitely on YouTube. It's TMC on YouTube. And then Ra-Ul, R-A-U-L, if you want Bernard's, MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries update and all the rest of the stuff he's done. But excellent. Well, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate you taking the time. And yeah, everyone listening, we'll catch you on the next episode of Renegade HPD.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Bye. Bye.